this with me tonight.
You show me every breath I breathe is from you. Every fingerprint part of you. I am yours from start to end. You hold me, and even when I wander, you are never farther than just a word.
Well, good evening.
the name of Jesus, a powerful, powerful name. And you're going to hear about that tonight in our passage in the book of Hebrews. I want to welcome each and every person who's online, whether you're on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe, follow us, do all those things. Comment there. It helps to get the word out to even more of your friends. And then also, welcome to those who are on our phone live streaming. If you need that number, I have that. Would be glad to give that to you. You can call the church office. We'll be glad to share that with you too. Be sure to respond there and let us know if you need that. If you need one of the church bulletins, they're out here on the tables. They're out that way on the tables also. So be sure to grab one of those this morning. Those are on the church website at HighlandBaptistChurch.com. Just go a couple of tabs over to the info tab. You can download the worship bulletin there. You can download the children's worship bulletins. They're in the windowsill to my right also. And then don't forget the prayer list to download that or get a paper copy off the table outside the offices here. There was one that we did not mention this morning in the way of an addition. We mentioned it Wednesday night, and that was the Joe Davis family, Kathy Heiss' sister that passed away. So keep that family in your prayers, too. The other things I want to mention to you, as we mentioned there on HighlandBaptistChurch.com, you can go to the far right-hand side, click the Give Online tab. You can do your offering there. The offering envelopes are in the pews in front of you. You can do that with an offering envelope in the plates down here at the front or at the doors as you leave. But you can do that on the website there also. Don't forget the buckets that are out here. As Pastor Matt asked, if there's anybody going that way towards Lebanon this week anytime, the state fair's up there. You could go to the state fair on your way and just swing by there and drop them off. So if anybody's going up that way, let us know. We'd be glad to get these to you to help us drop those off at the Missions Mobilization Center. But if you have some things left to bring, you'll need to do that probably by tomorrow at the latest so that we can get those delivered this week. Don't forget school supplies that we're gathering for the Operation Christmas Child shoeboxes. You can see a picture of some of the things there, many other things, anything that you think of that could fit inside a shoebox. We desperately need any of those things. There's boxes at both doors for you to drop those things off. Don't forget, today was the last day to be signing up for the Priscilla Schreier simulcast that we're going to be doing next Saturday from 8:30 to 3:45. That's going to be going on over in the Ministry Center. There's going to be a meal with that too, a lunch meal. So be sure to sign up for all that so we can know how many to prepare for and make sure we have enough materials and everything for that. And then also there is a security training that we're going to be having here at the church on the 13th of September from 11 to 3 p.m. There's going to be a lunch in that, so we do need you to sign up for that also. Even if you're not coming for the lunch, if you're coming for any of the rest of it, we still need to know so we have enough materials for you to as we go through that security training. And then also, don't forget, the 75th anniversary is coming up, and we are asking for people to share with us your the ways that Highland has impacted your family, your heart, your life, whether it's weddings or showers or graduations or camps or mission trips. If you've got any pictures of any of those things that you're willing to share with us, you can send those to the website that you see, I mean, the email address that you see there on the screen, amy@HighlandBaptistChurch.com. You can send them to any of the others that you see on any of our other social media platforms. Send it to those two. Or you can just drop them by the office or come by the office. We'll be glad to scan those and to get a copy of that so that we can be able to share those things. So it's not just weddings. It's any events that you've celebrated here at Highland. We want to share those experiences with everyone as we celebrate the 75th in September. So get those to us as soon as you can, because there's a lot of work that's got to go into putting those together in a display. So Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us in our or him.
Hymn 405, Have Faith in God, all four verses. Ms. Rima. Have faith in God when your pathway is lonely. He sees and knows all the way you have trod. Never alone are the least of his children. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Have faith in God, he's on his throne. Have faith in God, he watches o'er his own. He must prevail. Have plea he will never forget. Wait on the Lord, trust his word and be patient. Have faith in God, he'll answer yet. Have faith in God, he's on his throne. Have faith in God, he watches o'er his own. He cannot fail, he must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Have faith in God in your pain and your sorrow. His heart is touched with your grief and despair. Cast all your cares and your burdens upon him and leave them there. Oh, leave them there. Have faith in God, he's on his throne. Have faith in God, he watches o'er his own. He cannot fail, he must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God. Have faith in God, though all else fail about you. Have faith in God, he provides for his own. He cannot fail, though all kingdoms shall perish. He rules, he reigns upon his throne. Have faith in God, he's on his throne. Have faith in God, he watches o'er his own. He cannot fail, he must prevail. Have faith in God, have faith in God.
Amen. Take your Bibles tonight as we come back to the book of Hebrews. The message is entitled tonight, Growing in Christ. Growing in Christ. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10 down through verse 14. You need to remember what we've already seen in the book of Hebrews thus far to give you the context for this passage tonight, that Hebrews is a masterpiece, if you will, of a wonderful letter to us here, a wonderful book. It shows us, though, the absolute superiority of Jesus Christ and the new covenant over the old covenant of Judaism. He's superior to the angels. He's superior to Moses. He's superior to the old priesthood. It is written to a group of Jewish people, some of whom have trusted in Christ as their Savior, some who were intellectually convinced about him, and others who were just hearing the gospel for the first time. The writer's purpose is very clear here. What he's hoping to do is to encourage believers to stay firm in their faith. He's urging those who are kind of on the edge, you need to make sure that you trust in Jesus before it's too late. And he also is wanting to present the truth to those who are still learning. So this passage is the beginning of the third warning in the book of Hebrews that's aimed primarily at those who know the truth but who haven't surrendered yet to Jesus. They're kind of stuck in the middle, clinging to the old ways, and the writer is calling them to move forward to maturity in Jesus Christ. So we're going to see that as we go through these verses tonight. Look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 10 down through verse 14. Let's stand as we read God's word in honor of his word. Being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food. Verse 13. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child.
But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you will speak your truth into our hearts and our lives. Help us, Lord, to realize that we cannot stay where we are and go forward with you in the Christian walk, the Christian life at the same time. There has to be that growth that's a continual process from the day we come to faith in Christ. We're born again as a new creature in Christ till the day that we mature and we enter into your presence in heaven. So, Father, help us to keep growing in your presence, in your power, in your will, by the power of the Holy Spirit, each and every day, not staying stagnant, not being dull in our hearing to the Word of God. But I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will just make yourself known to us through this passage tonight, make it powerful and alive. And we just pray, God, that you'll do your work in our hearts through it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. And you can be seated. So we're going to break down this chapter or this section of this chapter into 3 points. There's the first, the problem of spiritual dullness. There's going to be the need for growth and then the path to maturity. Notice the problem of spiritual dullness to begin with in verse 10 down through verse 11 here. Look at the problem of spiritual dullness. In verse 10, notice again what the writer says here. It's kind of picking up the last part of the passage that we looked at last time, where he had said in verse 6 that you're a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And now he says in verse 10, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. So verse 10 is connecting back to the chapter's theme of Jesus as our high priest. Now, in the Old Testament, priests were priests like Aaron. They mediated, they were the mediators, if you will, between God and the people, offering sacrifices for sin. But Jesus is different. Jesus doesn't come from the line of Aaron. He is appointed by God himself, but a distinguishment here after the order of Melchizedek. And we talked a little bit about this last time. We're only going to talk about it a little bit tonight. There's a whole section we're going to get to when we get to chapter 7 about Melchizedek, and we're going to really dive into Melchizedek there. But let me just remind you who Melchizedek was. You find out about Melchizedek back in the book of Genesis, in Genesis chapter 14. He was a king and a priest who blessed Abraham. In Psalm 110, verse 4, it prophesies a future priest like him. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And so the writer of Hebrews, what he's wanting to do is he's wanting to unpack that truth. He's wanting to show them how Jesus fulfills that prophecy perfectly. Unlike the Levitical priests who died every year and had to be replaced every year and had to offer sacrifices year after year, Jesus is eternal. His priesthood isn't based on his ancestry. It's based on God's promise, God's word, God's oath, and his indestructible life. So why does all that matter? It matters because it proves, as we've been looking at throughout the whole book of Hebrews here, we're seeing that Jesus is better. And we see here that he is better, and it proves here that he is better than the new covenant. Or better than the old covenant. It proves the new covenant is better. The old system was a temporary system. It was a shadowing that was pointing towards Jesus Christ. Jesus is the real thing. He is the perfect mediator who offers himself once for all. And so this is a very deep truth here. It shows how Christ's priesthood is greater than Aaron's in the Old Covenant. He's writing to Jewish people, as we said last time, who would be looking and saying, well, you say Jesus is better. Who's your priest that you have to go to then? Because they knew they had to go through a priest. Well, Jesus is the priest. He's the only one you have to go through in getting to the Father. He makes the divine access for us there when the veil in the temple is rent in two from the top down to the bottom. And so the author here is trying to unpack that to show us how not only does Jesus fulfill those Old Testament prophecies, but he surpasses the Old Testament priesthood. But he stops short of that when you come to verse 11. And notice what he says at the beginning of verse 11. He says, about this, about what? About the fact that Jesus is designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, about this we have much to say. And it's hard to explain. It's hard to explain, he says, because you have become dull of hearing. So he stops short there. The problem isn't the information that he's about to share with them. The problem is not the subject, the subject matter he's about to talk about. It's the audience. They have become dull of hearing. You know, we run the danger of that, even as New Testament believers today, we run the danger of becoming dull of hearing. We begin to get sometimes so caught up in the routine of the ritual that we're just going through the motions and we don't hear the Lord speaking to us. The Greek word here for dull of hearing means sluggish or lazy. It's like a mind that's gone numb. He says, you have become dull. In other words, this wasn't something that just happened overnight. They didn't wake up overnight. It's kind of like the song that Casting Crowns sings, it's a slow fade. It's a slow thing that happens in our lives. You don't all of a sudden wake up and you're wondering, wait, where is God and where am I in my relationship with God? It's something that happens over a period of time. And so it's something that just always happens. They weren't always that way. At one time, these people were excited. At one time, these people were stirred by the gospel. And I dare to say, if we look back at our own lives, there was a time when you came to faith in Christ, when you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you're a believer here tonight or you're watching online, that you were excited about Jesus. You were in love with Jesus. You couldn't wait to tell other people. You couldn't wait to tell your family members. You couldn't wait to tell your friends that you had accepted Jesus and you were going to be baptized, and then somewhere along the way, somebody threw some water on your fire and you let it go out and you didn't fan the flame that was there. At one time, these people were excited. At one time, they were stirred by the gospel, but through neglect, they have grown spiritually sluggish. It's like somebody who hears the truth over and over and over, but they never act on it. The more you hear without responding, you know what happens to the heart? The harder the heart gets. That's right, the harder the heart gets. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15 that we've already looked at said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. So these people that he's speaking to here in the book of Hebrews in chapter 5, and by very nature of that, as we're reading it here for ourselves, they were in the danger of that very thing, of knowing the truth, but not embracing the truth, of lingering in the shadows of Judaism instead of stepping into the light of Jesus Christ. It would be like somebody today who was raised in a Christian home, maybe raised in a pastor's home, who knew all the Bible stories of the Bible, but said, you know, I don't understand what it means to be saved. They've heard it all their life, but it becomes so foggy because they never responded. That's what dullness does. It clouds out the truth. Think about it. These Jews that he's writing to here, they knew the Old Testament. They knew the Old Testament, the Torah. They knew the beginning, the first five books of the Bible. They knew the prophets. They knew the message that the prophets had brought. They knew all of that, but they could not see that all of that was pointing to Jesus. They were stuck, and that's a dangerous place for us to be. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 27 says, he has no need like those high priests to offer sacrifices daily. He did this once for all when he offered up himself. So think about this. If you're trusting in rituals, you're trusting in good works to get yourself right with God, you're missing the point. They were doing good things. They were doing what would have been called in their day, what we call in our day, church things. They would have been doing things that were religious things. They would have looked like they were right on the outside, but inside they weren't where they needed to be. On the inside, they were messed up. They were missing the point. It is Jesus and Jesus alone who bridges the gap between us and God. But notice where the writer of Hebrews is. He's stuck also because he can't go deeper yet. He can't explain this truth to them deeper yet because they aren't ready. Some of them aren't ready yet. And that leads to our second point. Our second point is this, is the need for growth, for spiritual growth. Look at verse 12, if you will. He says, though by this time, speaking of their spiritual journey, they've come to faith in Christ. They, you know what the Bible says, you're born again. It's kind of like you're a baby in Christ, and you ought to be growing up to a child. You ought to be growing up to an adolescent. You ought to be growing up to be a young adult. You ought to be growing to be a more mature adult, and then finally a fully mature adult. That ought to be some stages that are going on in your spiritual walk. And yet he says here in verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need somebody to teach you again. In other words, you need to go back to kindergarten because you don't even know the very basics yet. And I can't go over here just to middle school to teach you some truths here about how Jesus is like Melchizedek, because you didn't learn the basics, the reading, writing, arithmetic, and the basics back here in elementary school. That's kind of the emphasis of what he's speaking of here. There's a need for them to grow. And so he says, you ought to have been teachers by now, but you need somebody to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk and not solid food. What if I said for our 75th anniversary, you know what kind of meal we're going to have? We're going to have baby food out on the tables for you to eat. I'd say, I ain't coming for that. Baby food? I don't want baby food. I want some real meat. That's where they were spiritually. They couldn't eat the meat. They couldn't eat the solid food. You know, when you're raising a baby, you can't feed them solid food. They just can't, they can't chew that up. They don't have the fully developed teeth yet. They can't digest all of that. They need soft food. They need breast milk. They need soft foods to be able to eat to nourish their bodies. And that's what he's saying here. You need to go back to the milk because you can't handle the solid food yet. These people, he's writing to them saying, you have been exposed to the gospel long enough that you ought to be teaching others about the gospel. Let me ask you, are you teaching others about the gospel? How long have you been around the gospel? How long have you heard the gospel? How long have you heard and studied and read God's word? And the Lord is saying to us tonight, you ought to be teaching others by this point. By this time, you ought to be teachers. But you need somebody to teach you again. So these people had been exposed to the gospel long enough to be teaching others, and instead, they need the basics again themselves. The writer here has much to say, he says, about Melchizedek, much to say about Christ's priesthood, and he is going to say it. It's hard to explain, he says, because his readers have become dull of hearing. Not because the content that he's about to tell them is hard to understand. They're not where they need to be to understand it. We said that word dull means sluggish or lazy, like the ears that once heard clearly, but now they're clogged by neglect. These people, they are not new to the faith. I would dare say most of us who are here tonight, probably most of you who are watching online, you're not new to the faith. You're not a baby in Christ. So where are you on the spiritual journey of what you're feeding on spiritually? These people aren't new to the faith. They've heard the gospel, but instead they need those basic, the basic principles of the oracles of God. Now, what are the oracles of God? What he's referring to is back to the Old Testament. Like what you see Paul refers to in Romans chapter 3 and verse 1 and verse 2 when he says, what advantage has the Jew? Much in every way, he says. To begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God, with the Word of God. So if anybody should have understood who Jesus was, it was the Jewish people, not the Gentiles. It was the Jewish people. They understood the law. They understood the sacrifices. They understood the feasts. But what they did not see is that all of those things were pointing to Jesus Christ. They didn't see it because they're still on the milk. They're not ready for the solid food of the new covenant. So this is not just about Christians who are slow to grow. It's about people who haven't crossed the line into salvation even yet. They've got head knowledge, but they have no heart commitment. They're like the people that Jesus described over in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew 7 and verse 21. And when he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. There are a lot of people who come to church, who say, Lord, Lord, I love the Lord, I serve the Lord. I'm a believer, I'm a Christian. They say, Lord, Lord, but he says there will be those that will say, Lord, Lord, but they won't enter the kingdom of heaven. And he will say, I never knew you, depart from me. They know the facts about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus personally. So the writer's saying here, you ought to be teaching others about the Messiah, but you're stuck on the ABCs of Judaism. They've come close, intellectually convinced, but they've stopped short, lingering in the shadows of Judaism. And as a result, their hearts have become hardened because they're still caught up in the religious rituals. Reminds me of those people who've grown up in church. They know all the stories, but they say, I just don't get it. You know, that constant exposure without response leads to dullness. Hebrews 3, verse 7 and 8 warns us, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. If you're hearing God's word today, but you're not responding, you are in danger of the same dullness. Don't let the familiarity of coming to church, of worshiping the Lord, breed an indifference in your heart. Act on what you know. Understand this. Knowledge without commitment leads to spiritual stagnation. God wants us to grow, and he wants us to move from the shadows of the old covenant to the reality of Jesus Christ. But there's another point that he comes to here in verse 13 and verse 14 to show us. And he doesn't leave us wondering, well, okay, I need to be feeding more on the meat of God's word. I don't need to be on the milk of the word. What's the path for me to maturity? Well, the writer shows the path here in verse 13 and verse 14. He says in verse 13, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. So remember, he's talking spiritually here, not physically. He says, everybody who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, and living out the truths, the simple truths of God's word, because they're just a child. And so there's a place for that in our lives. When you become a baby in Christ, or you become a new creature in Christ, you're not expected to be a fully mature believer. You're not expected to be a teacher to others of the gospel. That comes with your learning and with your growing. And so there is a place for us to be feeding on the milk, that we're learning about the word of righteousness. But if you stay there and you're still feeding on the milk, that's what he's talking about in verse 13. These individuals are still living on the milk, and they're unskilled in the word of righteousness because they're still a child. But notice verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So when he says there the unskilled in the word of righteousness, that word unskilled simply means without experience. They haven't experienced the righteousness that comes through faith in Christ. It's kind of like what Romans 3 and verse 22 says, that the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ is for all who believe. They're like children. They're unable to discern good from evil. They're clinging to the old ways, to the rituals, instead of embracing Jesus. They're easily swayed by the old habits, by the false teachings. And in contrast, he said, here's the solid food over here for the mature, for those whose senses are trained to discern. And so how do you come to maturity? It comes, as he tells us in verse 14 there, through practice. It comes through practice, through responding to God's truth. Every time you read God's word and you respond to God's word and you seek to live out God's word, you know what you're going to do? You're going to have successes and you're going to have failures. Sometimes it's going to be two steps forward, three steps back. Sometimes it's going to be three steps forward and two steps back. But you're learning. That's a part of the process you're experiencing. Here's what God's word says. How do I live that out in my life? You need to be always in God's word so that God's word can be that lamp unto your feet, that light unto your path. It is something that's not automatic. It comes through practice. It comes through exercising your spiritual senses. It comes from applying God's word daily. You think about it this way. It's kind of like a marathon. You don't just wake up one morning and say, you know what, I think I'll go run a marathon today. You know what you're going to do? You're going to give out probably before you get a quarter of a mile, maybe a tenth of a mile down trying to run a marathon that you've not trained for, that you've not built up for. You see, you don't start with 26 miles. You build up to that with consistent effort. That's a problem that we have so often, is we're inconsistent. We're inconsistent. We're not consistent in our relationship with the Lord. We expect to reach Z over here, point Z, and we're still back here at point B, and we want to skip all the other pieces in between. We want to get over here where the joy is, where the celebration is, where all the excitement is. One day you're going to get there. But you got to go through all the rest of the points to get there. You've got to go through all the journey to get there, through the experiences. For these readers, maturity means leaving those Judaism basics and embracing Christ fully. What does it mean for us? It means for us growing in our understanding of who Jesus is. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Here he tells us one of the aspects of Jesus. He is our eternal high priest. And you know what the eternal high priest is doing every day, every moment of every day? For you, he is interceding on your behalf every single day. Hebrews 7:25, another passage from Hebrews says that he always lives to make intercession for them. Galatians 3:24 and 25 says, the law was our guardian until Christ came. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. The law was a schoolmaster, a taskmaster, showing us the image, the picture of Jesus Christ. But now that he has come, it's time for us to move on to the reality. For believers, this is a challenge to keep on growing. Don't stay where you are in your walk with the Lord. If you're saved, you have Christ's righteousness, but don't stay a spiritual child. Grow in your understanding of him. John 5:39 says, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me, Jesus said. You see, the scriptures are always pointing to what? They're pointing to Jesus. It's always Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's always about Jesus. So Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 10 through verse 14, as he's writing to these Jewish believers who become stagnant in their walk, in their growth with him, he's writing to them as a wake-up call. To those who know about Jesus but haven't trusted him yet, the message is an urgent one. Because he's going to tell us here in a little while that there's a day that's appointed unto man wants to die, and then the judgment. You know where that comes from? Hebrews. So he's building up to that, leading up to that. It's a wake-up call for them. It's a message that's urgent. Don't stay in that place dull of hearing. You've heard the truth. Don't let your heart be hardened. Come to Christ today. For us as believers, it's a reminder, don't settle for the spiritual milk. You need to be growing in your walk with Jesus. You know, there's kind of a transition that happens sometimes there. As a baby begins to mature, they begin to wean off of the milk and they begin to get to more solid food. And sometimes they're still taking some milk. Sometimes they're taking a little more solid food. Maybe that's where you are spiritually. And you need to be taking a little bit more solid food so that you can begin to grow and mature in your walk with the Lord. Grow in your walk with Jesus because he is our great high priest. The writer wants to talk about Melchizedek, but he can't. We're not going to get there till chapter 7, so we can't talk about it yet. I want you to mature a little bit here with Hebrews as we walk through this letter with the writer and with the audience who's hearing it, these Jewish believers. So he can't move forward until the audience moves forward. So the question is for us today, are you moving forward with Jesus Christ? Or are you stuck spiritually in your walk with Him? If you're stuck in your walk with Him, the place you need to be is in prayer, because you need to be talking to Him and saying, Lord, I know I'm not where I need to be. I'm stuck in my walk with You. I don't feel like I'm growing. I'm not learning in Your Word. I'm not where I need to be to be teaching others the gospel message. And that's okay. That's the place we need to come to, the place of admitting that we're not where we are or where we should be. And that's the first step there. We ought to be with Him in prayer. Then once you've done that, then you ought to be in His Word, because it's in His Word that you're going to learn more about Him. It's in His Word, this, as we talked about this morning in Psalm 19, all those different words for the Word, the testimony, the precepts. It's where you learn the practical things here in His Word about what you're to do, how you're to live, so that you can begin to practice that in your life. And you know what? You're going to make mistakes, and that's okay. Acknowledge when you make those mistakes. Acknowledge when you sin, and keep learning from your mistakes in the past, and keep growing forward in your walk with Him. Jesus is our perfect priest. He's perfect. He's interceding for you. But we have to guard against a spiritual dullness, and we have to keep pursuing maturity in our hearts. Don't neglect what you've heard. Respond to Jesus Christ. That's why I encourage people so often. You're missing 2/3 of what I bring to you of God's Word if you only come on Sunday mornings. You're missing Sunday night, you're missing Wednesday night. Hopefully you're watching it at least online or listening to it so that you can get at least some of that truth. And I'm not saying I'm the holder of the keys of truth here. It's the Word of God that you need to be in, whether that's taking the Bible app that we so strongly encourage you to take a part in the Bible reading program. We're reading through the chronological Bible through in a year, so I want to encourage you to jump on that, on the Bible app. Find our church on there. Get on that. There's Bible studies that are on there too, devotionals that you can follow along with also. You can take some of those devotionals or look up some of those devotionals for the books that we're going through. We're doing Hebrews on Sunday nights. We're doing Isaiah right now on Wednesday nights. We're doing the Psalms right now on Sunday mornings, and we'll be there for till the end of August at least, and then we'll jump to back to where we were before in September. There's so much in God's Word for you to be learning. And so it's not a Sunday to Sunday to Sunday to Sunday experience. It's a daily experience. It's a daily experience of walking in His Word, of learning in His Word, so that you can be all that Christ wants you to be and do all that He wants you to do. How often have you heard His Word and yet you didn't respond? I'm not talking about responding by coming down the aisle. You didn't respond by taking action on what you learned. When you do that, your hearing, your ears have become dull spiritually. Don't neglect what you've heard. Respond to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Lord, I pray tonight for those of us, especially who are dull of hearing. I pray, Heavenly Father, that You would awaken their hearts. Lord, make Yourself known to them in a powerful way, that there be no way to mistake You are pointing them to Jesus. And Father, I pray that as we come in prayer for them, Lord, awaken their hearts to hear. For those, Lord, who know the truth, they've heard the truth of the gospel year after year, decade maybe after decade, and yet they've still never trusted in Jesus. Lord, I pray that You would soften their hearts today, draw them to salvation. Lord, I pray most for these who are here tonight and those who may be watching online who are already believers. Sometimes, Lord, we get stuck in the rut of life. We get stuck in the spiritual journey with You. and we seem like we're spinning our wheels, we're not getting anywhere, because we're trying to do things ourselves. We're trying to do what we want to do the way we want to do it, instead of following your prescription, your plan of coming to you in prayer, getting into your word and learning your word and hearing from you in your word, and then applying what we're learning in our hearts and our lives from your word. So, Lord, I pray for us as believers, help us to grow in spiritual maturity. Help us, Lord, to leave the basics behind, not to forget the basics. That's foundational for us. Help us, Lord, to leave those basics behind to learn deeper truths about Jesus. Draw us close and closer to you. We ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing our hymn of invitation. Maybe the Lord is calling you to respond tonight by coming down the aisle here. Number 302, I hear thy welcome voice. Will you stand and sing as we... Thank you for being here tonight in person. Thank you for being with us there online. We look forward to having you back Wednesday night. I mentioned earlier, we're in the book of Isaiah. We're getting close. I think we've got about 6 or 7 chapters. Actually, it's about 7 or 8 chapters that are left there for us to go through. And so I want to encourage you to join us Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. It's going to be a wonderful blessing. Don't forget, we've got the Awana training also on Wednesday night. So those of you who are involved with that, be sure to be here for that. Remember, there's going to be some child care. I think there's going to be a little bit of food, too, that they're going to have for that. And then the following week is our kickoff. So I want to encourage you to come for that. We won't have our Wednesday night, regular Wednesday night service that week. We'll be having our kickoff for Awana. So you come this Wednesday night, join us, you'll receive a wonderful blessing. You stay safe. We'll see you then.